Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. I believe the Lord directed me to start these meetings, and it's an outreach of my radio broadcast. But what kind of church is Old Paths Tabernacle? It's not Baptist, and it's not charismatic. It's also not the prosperity or the greed gospel. And yes, I said greed gospel. Those guys get on TV and they beg for your money. And they drive the most expensive cars known to man. You know, Jesus walked everywhere he went. Jesus was not ostentatious. He had a robe, as all Jews had, some sort of prayer shawl or robe. But he didn't have rings on his fingers. He didn't have a chariot. He didn't have gold. He didn't have all of this stuff. I'm convinced that some of those preachers are just out for your money. We have bills. For instance, the banner that we have had to pay money for that. At some point, they're going to be charging us on a weekly basis to use this room or the fellowship hall or something. They're very kind to us. They open the doors to us. I know the pastor, his name's Jack Boudreau here. And I'm very grateful that he allowed us the opportunity. But at some point he said, you know, you get started and that, you know, do what you can to get started, but at some point we have to charge you. And I understand that. But aside from paying the little bills that we have, I don't care about your money. I'm not here for anybody's money. I know the laborer is worthy of his hire. I know that God will provide our needs, but aside from that, I'm not interested in greed. I'm not interested in your money. Not Baptist, not charismatic, but I am Pentecostal. But the Pentecostal message is not about speaking in tongues. Many will say that that's what it is, and, you know, those Pentecostals, that's what they do, and they speak in tongues and roll on the floor and all that stuff. But the Pentecostal message is not tongues. It's Jesus, as seen in the Gospels and as portrayed in the lives of the disciples in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Jesus saves. Let's start right there. Jesus saves. The only way to get to heaven is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. And I've been on WSHO now for 5 years, and that's what I've preached. First, Jesus saves. Jesus also heals the sick. We read in the Gospels, and we'll get to this in chapter 8, one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. It says that when evening was come, they came to him. I guess it was after the Sabbath or something, when they were able to walk or do work or something like that. They were not restricted. When evening was come, they all came to him. And he healed everyone. And it says that, the next verse, that it was a fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah. Pick a gospel. Jesus heals the sick. He raises the dead. He casts out devils. He does all of these miraculous things. Now we have doctors today. Praise God for doctors. They help out a lot. We have medicine. We have a number of different things. We have these things, and I'm grateful for them. But it doesn't change the fact that the Bible says that Jesus heals the sick. If you break your arm, I've said this on the radio before, if you break your arm, that's fine. Go get it set. But on the way, pray. Maybe you can, with your other hand, dial your cell phone and say, hey, pastor, come meet me at the hospital. I broke my arm. Pastor, will you pray? They didn't have, let's say, health insurance back then in Bible times. Many times you get a simple thing that today we'd pop a pill or something for and the problem would go away. Many times in Bible times, a simple little infection, 4 days later you're dead. They didn't have very much medicine. I understand Luke, the guy that wrote the book of Luke, he was a physician, but they didn't have all the different ibuprofen, let's just say that. He didn't have pain pills. He didn't have anything. Maybe some sort of a home remedy or something according to that level of knowledge. But they didn't have the drugs that we have. They didn't have surgery like we have today. If you got sick in Bible times, you either lived with it, like the woman with the issue of blood, or the man that was 40 years in his condition, or you died. And I think that many times today, even though we have doctors, we have insurance, we have all of this stuff, many times today, still, people need to be healed. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, but Jesus also delivers. If you can't stop smoking, or you can't stop sticking needles in your arm, or whatever your trouble is, you can't stop looking at women that way, or you can't stop doing this, or you can't stop doing that, Jesus delivers. Put your trust in Jesus, and He can deliver you. If you have any trouble at all, Jesus is your answer. If your mind is messed up, or you're afraid, perhaps, afraid they're going to break into your house or shoot you on the way while you walk into the drugstore or whatever. This is a rough city we live in. I understand that. There's fear. There's all sorts of things that we struggle with. Maybe your kid's hooked on drugs or your neighbor is something. Jesus is the answer. We have social work. We have psychologists. We have lawyers. We have all of this stuff. But really the answer, and that's what the Bible presents, is the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus delivers. Jesus also baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Now I said that the Pentecostal message is not tongues. It's not about that. But He does baptize in the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Again, one of my favorite verses. It says that we shall be witnesses unto the Lord to the uttermost parts of the earth. After we receive the power of God in our lives to preach, to help, to minister, to serve. We can do a lot of things in the flesh, but we should trust in the Lord for His power. Amen. He told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, it's time to go preach, but wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the power to do the work that I've called you to do. Oh, and one more thing. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming back one day, not too long from now, probably. Again, I can't tell the day or the hour, but man, it sure looks close. But Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. The first time He came as a servant. And we can read in the Gospels all of the things that He did. Helping people, healing people, comforting people, teaching people, and also dying for people. He hung and died. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And if we trust in Him, we can go to heaven. But one day He's coming back. Not to die all over again. Not to be a servant, but as Lord and King. Again, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, He baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming again. But I want to say that Jesus, and He said this, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Myself. And that's who we preach here. That's what we're about, is Jesus. We want to lift Him up. We want to tell others about Him. I'm not here to promote my church. My church doesn't count. I belong to a denomination. My denomination doesn't count. I belong to a movement, Pentecostal movement. But my movement doesn't count. The only thing that matters, and that's what we preach here, we want to build up the kingdom of God. We want to see lost souls brought into the kingdom. We want to see Christians helped and mature in the Christian way. We lift up Jesus as best we can. And he said he would draw all men unto himself. I'm not worried about empty pews. But I'm worried that when people hear what we have to say, that they come to Jesus and they look to him and they begin to depend on him for the things that they need. The Gospels portray Jesus as healing the sick, teaching sound doctrine, doing all sorts of things. He said in Luke chapter 7, verse 18, which is where I asked you to turn earlier, Luke 7, verse 18 through 23, and I'll read it. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? All the Old Testament said the Messiah is coming, the Savior is coming. And we understand that Jesus was baptized of John in Jordan. We'll study that in chapter 3. We understand all of that. But right after Jesus began his ministry, John was thrown into prison and stayed there several months, I suppose. And then he was killed. But in prison, after doing his job, which was to proclaim the coming of the Lord and to identify him, saying, That's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. John was sitting in jail, rotten in jail, and said, I don't understand. He sent word to Jesus and he said, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour, Jesus cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind gave he sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go ye away, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Amen. And blessed is he, whoever shall not be offended in me. What is Old Paths Tabernacle about? I want to preach what Jesus preached. And if God helps me, I want to do what the apostles did. We can read in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 people got saved. A chapter or two later, we see another great harvest. 5,000 got saved. And if God helps me, I want to win lost souls. If God helps me, I'd like to see sinners, maybe drug addicts, maybe wife beaters, maybe who knows what, give their lives to God and become righteous people, righteous men and women, and live for the Lord. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Make no mistake about that. The only way to get to heaven is to put your trust in Jesus Christ, who gave His life on the cross and shed His blood for you and me. There's no other way to be saved but to trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember in the Old Testament, it may have been Numbers or I forget exactly where it was, there was a plague and serpents were biting all of the children of Israel, and if they got bit, they died. And God said through Moses, they had a couple of servants to make a brass statue, if you will, of a snake. The snakes were biting people. They were dying. But God said, make a little statuette or something of a snake and then tie it or lash it to a pole and then hold it up in the air as a banner and run through the camp and cry, look and live. Look and live. In the Gospels, and at some point we'll get to it, Jesus is that serpent tied to a pole. Sin destroys. Sin separates from God. Sin causes us to end up not in heaven but in hell. But Jesus, He took upon His own body sin. Nailed it to a cross, it says in Colossians. And as we look to Jesus and what He did on Calvary, we can live. John 3:16, the most famous verse in the entire Bible, says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look and live. You can have eternal life if you look to Jesus. The object of our faith and the focus of our message here at Old Paths Tabernacle is Jesus Christ. It's not denominations. It's not anything. You name it. It's not anything but Jesus Christ. I'll never refer you to the psychologist. I'll never refer you to the social work. I will always refer you to Jesus Christ. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want it. If some doctrine or some methodology or something, if it can't be found in the Bible, then I don't want it. But if it is in the Bible, I most certainly want it. Again, we're not Baptists. We don't sit on our hands. We believe that God can heal the sick. We believe if a person gets saved, they'll have a fundamentally different life as they live for God. But we don't bark like dogs either. The Toronto Blessing back in the 90s, or when they brought it down to Pensacola, I guess, in the later 90s, and I'm told it's in Mobile now. I'm not interested in weird manifestations. I'm not interested in foolishness. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the Holy Bible,
amen,
it's because there's no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. I'm not interested in any other doctrine but the orthodox doctrines, the ones that the Bible plainly proclaims. I don't need a new revelation, don't need a rhema word, don't need a new thing. Not interested. Sorry. Try the church down the road. I want to stick with the Bible. It was good enough for Daniel. It was good enough for me. But the Bible also teaches about sanctification and the way of suffering. I'm going to say this, and I've said it before. Suffering is part of the gospel. The verse I just read, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." That's what Jesus said. We're not to be offended in the Lord. He tells us, if any man follow me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross. Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life. He suffered. He lost his life. Not my will, Lord, but thine. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and to bear it. Again, suffering is part of the gospel. And God uses suffering to purify our hearts. I know that when I got saved, I was fresh out from the bars. God had to do something in my heart and in my life. I was rude. I was crude. All sorts of crude things I would say. Right out of the gate, I was rude to people. And God took His time over a couple of years, and He realized that I needed to be kind and not rude and obnoxious. God calls us to change, because God's ways are higher than our ways, it says in Isaiah chapter 55. But God uses suffering. God uses trials and tribulations to work patience in us and to work a change, a deep change in our hearts and lives. I'm talking about sanctification. Sanctification means to be holy, to be set apart to God and for His use. Instead of Saturday night on the bar, you find yourself on Sunday, hey, I'm in church. You're set apart to God. When you get saved, at the moment that you were converted, at the moment that you were born again, God places you in the kingdom of God. Your sanctification is complete at that point. your positional sanctification. You're in Christ. You're now a Christian. That's your position. But then there's a progression. Again, the moment I got saved, God did a wonderful thing in my heart and life. But it took me a while. Again, like I said, instead of being rude and obnoxious, it took me a while to learn, hey, you're supposed to be nice to people. I mean, duh, I guess I was pretty stupid. Of course you're supposed to be nice to people. But that's where I started. And God did a work in my heart. You have a position in Christ, but then you're supposed to progress in sanctification. And God, many, many, many times, will use suffering and heartache and trials and defeat and failure to do a work in our hearts. But I'll say it again, suffering is part of the gospel. Old Pat's Tabernacle also tries to be led of the Spirit. I don't have people telling me what to preach. I don't have a Sunday school quarterly or something that gives me my lessons. I go to the Word of God and I get on my knees, as it were, to pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to say? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, again, another passage that God gave me long, long ago, and it's one of my favorites, and it speaks of sanctification. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh my ear to hear as the learned. A minister can know what to say. A Christian can know what to say. So God gives the tongue of the learned. In other words, he fills your mouth. He perhaps fills your head and you know what to say. He waketh morning by morning to hear as the learned. In other words, it's a lifestyle of praying and reading the Word of God. But then it goes on. Verse 5 through, I think, 9. And I'll not read all of it, but it says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That sounds exactly like Isaiah chapter 53. This is a prophecy of the passion of the Lord. You see, God wants us to understand how to speak to people, to give a word in season to him that is weary. And yes, you have to pray. And yes, you have to study the Word of God. But you also have to carry your cross. You have to say, not my will, but thine. Well, I want to go over here and do that. And God says, no, I want you to do this instead. I have ambitions and desires for my life. I want to do this. And God says, no, I've got another plan for you. You have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and deny yourself. The passage goes on and it's wonderful, but I'll not read it now. Everything in these services leads up to the preaching. In an evangelistic service, it's all about the Word of God and the response in the heart, which we don't really have an altar here, but if there's some sort of an invitation, again, the preaching and then the response in the heart. Also, and we can't do a whole lot now, but this is a missions church. I'm interested in missionary work. You know that I go to Haiti. You know, I've been to Mexico and Honduras, and maybe I'll have a chance to go other places. Maybe we can support missionaries. Maybe I can make some other trips. Maybe some people here, as time progresses, I can take them with me as I go on my various missions trips. But you know, everywhere you look, there's a Mexican in New Orleans. I'd like to be able to reach out to them. I understand that they're Spanish churches, and maybe they do a good job, but maybe we can help them. Maybe we can do something. Because instead of going to the mission field of South America, they came to us. And we need to be about the Father's business. We can't forget that God sent these people here. Maybe they're looking for work, maybe, who knows, but we can minister to them.
Hello, friends. This is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Conifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.